Hi there. I'm Melissa Bowman for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thanks for tuning in to today's Waterloo Region Weekly Roundup. Today's episode focuses on a recent council discussion about the Prime Minister's Path statue project in Wilmot Township. During that meeting, we hear from several members of a consultant group called the First Peoples Group, who have been asked to speak to council about how they may possibly partner together to move forward in some way regarding the Prime Minister's Path. I also have some additional updates from Wilmot about the anti-racism rally held there on May 8th. We'll start with the April 26th Wilmot Council meeting. There are four members appearing to council from the First Peoples Group, and I'll share their introductions from that council meeting, starting with Melissa Hamill.
Hello, bonjour, sago, ani. Melissa Hamill, Indigenous, Ottawanand Ojibwa, Makwadodam. So my name is Melissa Hamill, and I'm calling in today from unceded Algonquin territory in Ottawa. I introduced myself in my grandmother's language of Anishinaabe Mohen. My dad grew up in Ottawa, met my mom here. She's of Danish and English descent. They actually moved to Kitchener, where they had me. So I was born in your area, born in Kitchener. And one of my jobs, I ended up working for the university as well, was within the Indigenous Student Association, which was the Aboriginal Student Association back then. And your area is where I go home for ceremony too.
Next, we hear from Cassidy Karen.
Tansa Kiowa, good evening, everyone. My name is Cassidy Karen. I'm Métis. My family comes from the historic Métis communities of St. Louis and Batoche, Saskatchewan, but I'm calling today from Williams Treaty Territory up in Huntsville, Ontario, which is where I now call home. I am an associate at First Peoples Group, and I've been doing work with Indigenous communities, including my own, and supporting community-based and community-driven work for nearly a decade now. And I'm currently pursuing my master's in community development, so I bring that experience to this project.
Bob Watts also introduces himself.
I'm coming to you from Six Nations of the Grand River, just down the road from you. I was part of the team that negotiated the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement, and then I went on to set up Canada's first Truth and Reconciliation Commission as the interim executive director. I've taught reconciliation at Queen's University for about 10 years now. We've been doing a lot of work through the First Peoples Group, where I am a special advisor on reconciliation. We've been doing a lot of work with municipalities on some pretty tough issues and with some other organizations.
The final introduction to the First Peoples Group members is from Guy Friedman.
Gungawage Pijun, the Desnagas Pijudo Dem. That's Ojibwe for my name's through ceremony, but I'm the furthest thing from an Ojibwe. I'm probably about 3,000 miles away from Ojibwe. I come from Flin Flon, Manitoba, and First Peoples Group is my passion. And what we are about is a hope-based Indigenous company who's trying to build a better Canada. I will add that I sit at the Museum for Human Rights on the Standing Indigenous Advisory Committee in Winnipeg, and it's a pleasure and honor to work with you as we address some of the touchy issues on how we can go about building a better nation for all of us. So,
Ms. Hamill talks about the consultation the First Peoples Group led in Kingston with its Sir John A. Macdonald statue. She describes the three S's which form part of their assessments.
What we talk about as recommendations and solutions or actions that fall into three different categories. We call it the three S's, and have been using this framework more and more as we do this kind of work. You know, after a process of deep listening and reflecting back and validating what community is saying as they come out to engagements or as they engage in whatever way they feel comfortable with the subject matter, what we tend to reflect back is a series of recommendations or actions that fall into three different categories. So symbolic, substantive, and systemic. And you can't have one without the other. Symbolic actions on their own can be seen as sort of those like checkbox actions if they don't have substantive and systemic actions to back them up.
Ms. Karen describes the work the First Peoples Group will do to ensure they engage with a variety of groups focusing on reaching individuals traditionally marginalized or not even included in these types of engagements.
we will ensure that this process has a focus on empowerment of hard to reach and marginalized voices in the engagement process, such as those of the urban Indigenous community, as well as populations like youth and young people in your community. What do they have to say? Throughout this process, COVID-19 safety protocols are going to limit us to virtual focus groups, so likely through Zoom. We're hoping to offer multiple means of contributing to the focus groups, such as joining over the phone or even offering additional one-on-one conversations with members of the public who request those.
Councillor Angie Hallman refers to the hesitation that some people have to work with politicians and asks how those concerns can be addressed by the First Peoples group.
There has been some people in our community who have been racially profiled and feel very uncomfortable engaging with us as politicians, but are interested in engaging with you without us involved. And many of them are Indigenous. What is the safest way to connect those people without us involved to you? Is there going to be communication put out directly through your communication outlets that they can reach out to you directly?
Ms. Hamill responds.
The short answer is yes, and we're also going to be available throughout our time on this contract. If anyone wants to ever reach out one-on-one and just have a conversation with us, we're here for that. One of our first steps is actually an invitation to each of you as counselors to have one-on-one conversations. From there, you know, reaching out to those identified key people, broadening the reach that way.
Yeah, and we don't attribute remarks in the report. And nothing will be attributed with a name. The only time that comes up is it's happening now in Kingston is that when people volunteer to become members of a working group to draft some of the language, then their names are on that working group.
Councillor Hallman wants to know how the First Peoples group will weigh recommendations between Indigenous people and settlers. Mr. Friedman responds that it's not necessarily about weighing the opinions of one group or another, but is more about creating safe spaces for everyone to share their opinions.
I'm just curious, within Kingston, did it come from weighing the marginalized people with the settlers with how you make recommendations, or how does that look? What does that look like?
It's not about how a question is weighted per se, but how much respect we can give to the person who has an opinion to ensure that they're doing that in a safe space. I don't know if I've ever proceeded on the basis of weighting something that way. Most of us on this call from First Peoples group come from backgrounds that have experienced some of the troubles and difficulties as being Indigenous people, that has brought us to this point of working in a way to make it better for other Indigenous people that are maybe less fortunate than we've become. You know, this I'm speaking as a person who's descended from the historic Métis in Red River back to 1812 with a mother who couldn't drink at the same water fountains as her friends because they said that she wasn't allowed to. And so we know what pain feels like. So that's why we go to any lengths to make a comfortable space and a safe space for people.
Mr. Watts says that the First Peoples group approaches their work with a reconciliation lens and that they want to ensure that voices get counted that usually get discounted.
You know, I think one of the things that we're talking about in terms of our approach from a, you know, bringing a reconciliation lens to bear is ensuring that voices get counted that are often discounted. And I think that's at least as meaningful as figuring out if there's an algorithm to have one voice count more than the other. It's not so much like win-lose types of things, but what's a greater victory is exposing each other to each other's dignity and finding dignity as a way of creating different relationships with each other and different relationships in the community. So that question of personal dignity and group dignity will be driving a lot of our work and will be a principal base for dialogue and collaboration.
Council opens the floor to delegations on this issue. Nigel Gordick begins by sharing several recent examples of overt racism in Wilmot Township.
During the summer of 2020, posters promoting the anti-immigrant Proud Boys were put up in New Hamburg and Baden. The Proud Boys were recently designated a terrorist group by the federal government. In late June 2020, a group of the white supremacist urban infidels gathered by the S-Jam statue in Baden. The group shouted racist slurs at locals. In July 2020, a swastika, and Confederate flag graffiti was painted in Saradambeck Park. When my kindergartner comes home from school and tells me a kid in his class told him they couldn't be friends because their skins don't match, we have a problem. Kids aren't born like that. Like that, they're taught.
Mr. Gordick continues.
When white supremacists with a reputation for violence gather on township property, intimidate Indigenous people by shouting slurs at them, and council fails to condemn their behavior, what message are you sending about who can feel safe here? After Councillor Gordick discussed White Lives Matter posters last week, there were people who said that White Lives Matter is no different than saying that Black Lives Matter. Here's the difference. If you look at WM marches, all of the participants are white. Their movement is about protecting their power. The phrase White Lives Matter in this context is used to mean that only white lives matter and that they're the most important.
Mr. Gordick notes that many of the elected officials and others who hold power locally are white and that that affects their perspective and experiences in the world.
When I look at the power structure in Wilmot, I see our MP is white, our MPP is white, every single member of regional and township council is white, our chief of police is white. Inevitably, every one of these people experiences life from a white perspective. I was born in England and lived there for 40 years, and I've lived in Canada for the past 15. I've spent my entire life in a white world. Believe me, I get it. I'm not suggesting councils or staff are racist, but you see and experience the world differently than I do.
John Bailey speaks to council next, and he believes that a private location for the Prime Minister's path may be more appropriate than a municipal one.
With only these six statues in their collection and no real forward progress, the systemic decisions around the best use of that public space, considering its problematic lineage, suggest that a different site, perhaps a private facility rather than a public space, would be more appropriate, so that a more welcoming space could be provided for all residents of Wilmot Township.
Mr. Bailey says that openness and transparency on this project is needed in order to prevent further harm to the community.
This process has much potential to expose these individuals to even more harm, and the honesty, openness, and transparency of the process must be paramount and demonstrated clearly. There have been some very disturbing and tone-deaf letters and delegations submitted to Wilmot Township from residents that have a very difficult time coming to terms with the ugliness that has surfaced here. Otherwise, good, kind-hearted people that just simply cannot believe this exists here because it doesn't affect them personally. While there are many white Wilmot settlers that feel strongly that the statues should remain and continue, there are also a great many white Wilmot settlers that strongly believe that the project must be halted and moved to a private space where they can be presented with proper context, historical accuracy, and meaningful education materials.
Cheyenne Thorpe is the next delegation. She says that there is a lot of division in the community right now due to misinformation and racial discrimination.
These issues have been building to a burst for a long time coming now, perhaps most strongly fueled by ignorance toward racial discrimination at the hands of our own leaders, as well as the divide caused by the call for the absolute removal of the Prime Minister's Path project. We are seeing more brazen attempts to divide our community based on misinformation, feelings of hate, and racial bias amongst our very own township members. We are seeing more empty promises by leadership and an effort to denounce white supremacy across our region coming at a time that is far too little too late.
Ms. Thorpe is both hopeful about this engagement, yet also exhausted by the continued free labor that certain residents continue to provide.
I am eager to see efforts being made to ensure that this process is completed in a timely manner. I'm hopeful in engaging in the process of communication and better understanding about the First Peoples group and their overall goals as Indigenous leaders in this space. I'm exhausted by the idea of how much more free labor is going to be involved in this long-winded debate, as well as community engagement. I am excited by the notion that the tides are changing in certain areas of our nation and the world to finally realize that idolizing someone in bronze in a public space is a poor way to pay homage and respects.
Delegate Nancy Burris says better communication is needed to keep citizens informed on issues such as the Prime Minister's path. She also comments on how the White Lives Matter posters found in Wilmot were only found or shared by people who have been talking about the racism in Wilmot lately.
On another matter regarding the abhorrent posters advertising White Lives Matter,
the rally that was found in that were found in New Hamburg. The media reported that a very few posters between 2 and 6, and mind you, that is 2 or 6 too many, were found. They were found, shared, and or commented on by councillors Hallman, Gorgic, and citizen John Bailey. To me, it's a coincidence that the people who have been branding Wilmot as a haven for racism are the ones to have discovered these posters. And how is it that these posters have not been reported to being found in any other communities in Waterloo region?
Councillor Hallman responds.
Ms. Burris, you are incorrect in that I did not find the posters myself. Constituents reported it to me. I directed them to the police. They were also found in Wellesley. So that needs to be on the record that that data that you presented was not valid.
Delegate David Atkinson says that while there may be a small number of anonymous racists in Wilmot, it's unfair to paint the whole town as racist. He thinks that the Prime Minister's Path Project is less about racism and is simply an opportunity to better understand history, warts and all.
I don't have a racist bone in my body. I work and play with people from all over the world. The question of the PMP project is not about racism. A quick review of events of the last 11 months or so clearly shows a small number of folks, some of whom have spoken tonight and some of whom sit on council, repeatedly conflating a narrative of systemic racism with support for the Prime Minister's path. The PMP is history. It's not sociology. Being in favor of displaying our country's history, warts and all, does not equate to agreeing with all the things that history represents. Regrettably, there is a small number of anonymous racist people in Wilmot, but it is unfair and irresponsible to paint the overwhelming majority of the community with that brush. Those few people need to be dealt with without besmirching the entire township.
Mr. Atkinson takes issue with Councillor Gordick's recent comments in the record that describe a, quote, racist underbelly in Wilmot.
Councillor Gordick is quoted in the record as stating, in context of white supremacy, that, I quote, there's this ugly underbelly that's here in Wilmot. I believe Councillor Gordick fully understands the sordid image that phrase suggests. I'd love for Councillor Gordick to stand by that comment and all the ugliness it suggests about this township and its residents on the record. As a member of this community, I am appalled that an elected representative would feel justified without evidence in referring generally to the community in that way. Councillor Gordick, do you stand by that comment?
Councillor Cheryl Gordick responds to Mr. Atkinson's comments.
I do not believe all Wilmot residents are racist. However, I would be completely remiss to not acknowledge that there is racism here. To ignore that there is a racist issue within any community, it's criminal. And I'm not saying that all Wilmot residents are, but I do stand by my comment that there is a current of racism here, that if you do not want to acknowledge it, I am sorry. However, I am acknowledging it that is there, and I will stand by the people of the IBPOC community to help their voices become heard so that there is no more trauma or hurt that we as Wilmot residents continue to impact them.
As delegations conclude, Councillor Fenning comments that some of the previous delegations are requesting to speak again. Council agrees that they should be allowed to do so. I've noticed this happen at several previous Wilmot Council meetings, where delegations remain on the call and add additional comments after their first delegation is complete. I've never seen this happen at any other local council meetings. So the first delegate to return is Ms. Thorpe, who has concerns about what has been said this evening, and that it seems that only the female councillors are being questioned about the existence of racism in Wilmot.
The idea, okay, sorry, there's so many things that were said and that were just complete either deflections to the issues at hand or that were just completely just preposterous, in my opinion, especially in address to some of the women in council. So there has been a big mention of like, well, do you think that our town is racist or do you think that our township is racist? And associating it to only the women of council who are sitting here tonight, who have been standing behind BIPOC individuals and who are trying to uplift the support of the issues that are at hand. So for one, I think that is telling in itself, but I cannot stress enough that the idea that the Prime Minister's Path Project has been associated into acts of racism and prejudice by the very ones who are standing to educate the public to cause division and consultation is absolutely ignorant. It's absurdly ignorant.
John Bailey also has additional comments. He objects to the characterization by some of the delegates at the meeting that certain councillors are seeking to destroy the community.
What this agenda is to categorize Councillor Gordyke specifically as some sort of evil individual who's trying to destroy this community. All I have seen is exactly the opposite of that. And so this kind of gotcha thing where people come on here and they delegate and accuse Councillor Gordyke and Holman and Fenning of having some agenda to destroy this community and sully its brand, I absolutely categorically take issue with that. They have done nothing but the opposite. I think if you look on balance, all of those councillors, in fact, all of the councillors you see here this evening, have done incredible things for this community. To categorize that is just absolutely abhorrent.
Delegate David Atkinson also returns to speak to defend his questioning of Councillor Gordyke's comments in the record.
To both Cheyenne and John, guys, I was only referencing Ms. Gordyke, Councillor Gordyke, because she's the one that was quoted in the paper. This is not a gender thing. It's nothing else than that. It was just she's the one quoted in the paper. So please, let's not bring gender into this now. Don't pull that on us, all right? This angry white settlers crap or this misogynistic, I hate women thing, that is not gonna do it. That's not what I said. And the only reason that she was even mentioned was because she made the quote in the paper. If you don't quote, make those quotes in the paper, I'm going to leave you alone and treat you like everybody else.
Mr. Atkinson continues, and eventually Mayor Armstrong, at the request of Councillor Holman, informs Mr. Atkinson that he needs to observe decorum. Councillor Fenning responds to Mr. Atkinson's statement about, if you don't talk and bring these issues up, I'll leave you alone. Councillor Fenning says,
but I'd ask him to think about his words where he said, if you don't speak, I won't bother you. If you're not quoted, I'll leave you alone. And I'd like you to think about what that statement means and what that says.
Mr. Bob Watts from the First Peoples Group offers some concluding remarks.
We've seen a lot of passion here this evening. That makes me really happy. Folks are taking many of these issues obviously very seriously. And we're going to take them with the same sort of seriousness. And it's curious some of the origins that have brought us together from different journeys to focus on these issues. But who knows where this is going to lead us. So what I would encourage and ask for is patience for all of us as we work on this journey, and that we give respect to each other, and that we give the benefit of the doubt that people are doing their best and they're trying to bring their best mind forward, they're trying to bring their best spirit forward and their best heart forward in terms of finding solutions.
And that concludes the April 26th Wilmot Council meeting regarding the Prime Minister's path and possible involvement of the First Peoples Group in future engagement. If you want to stay up to date on Wilmot Council meeting discussions, I highly recommend you follow @LoveWilmot on Twitter. As mentioned by some of the delegates in that meeting, there have been some White Lives Matter posters appearing in Wilmot recently. Some of those posters mention the possibility of a White Lives Matter rally on May 8th. In response, an anti-racism rally was organized by several grassroots organizations, including Ground Up Waterloo Region, also for May 8th. According to Kitchener Today, upwards of 70 demonstrators gathered outside Baden's Castle Kilbride for that anti-racism rally. Many attendees held signs with messages such as, "Racism is a pandemic too," and "Transform Wilmot" and "White supremacy." David Alton, a member of Ground Up Waterloo Region, in a recent Inside Waterloo article, identified the following calls to action. Classifying white supremacy as a public health crisis. ensuring transparency and systemic change in the Prime Minister's PATH consultation, and standing in solidarity with the demands of Reallocate WR, Oseganyu Hadaje Land Back Camp, Haudenosaunee Confederacy Chiefs Council, and the Unsheltered Campaign. On May 8th, rally volunteers walked the ground offering PPE and hand sanitizer to anyone that needed it and ensured physical distancing between rally attendees. Regional Chair Karen Redman expressed concerns about the gathering, however, saying the timing for any kind of in-person gathering isn't right. She is quoted by CTV Kitchener as follows. This is during a stay-at-home order. We still see a lot of COVID-19 being spread in the community, so that's a huge concern. Organizers provided several other options for residents to participate, including a car rally and an online broadcast of rally speakers, including Kitchener Centre MPP Laura May Lindo and Land Back Camp co-founder Amy Smoke. One rally attendee, Courtney Henrich, is quoted in the Waterloo Region Record saying, "As a queer, cisgendered white woman and a white mother, I need to stand up for what's right and speak out against inequality. If we do nothing, nothing changes." There was a police presence at the rally. As stated in the Inside Waterloo article, members of Waterloo Regional Police's COVID Integrated Response Team and bylaw officers were standing by the outskirts of the rally monitoring their actions. One police van and two cruisers were seen nearby, with a few more either down the street or driving by. As noted in the record, after the rally, when asked if there were any charges laid, police said, "We will work with bylaw on evidence collected for the potential of laying charges." Organizers of the rally hope attendees will continue to speak up and take action. They encourage everyone to email elected officials and community leaders to ensure the voices of racialized residents are heard and acted upon. If you want to find out more about the rally, check out the Wilma Anti-Racism Solidarity Movement page on Facebook and the hashtag TransformWilmot. You can read more about the rally as well at insidewaterloo.ca. Thanks for tuning in to today's Waterloo Region Weekly Roundup. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative grant program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can find out more about that initiative as well as all of the CKMS programming at Radio Waterloo. Also, feel free to continue this conversation. You can always find me on Twitter at M2Bowman. Thanks for listening.